Father, we worship you and we praise you for Jesus, for the life of Christ, for the born-again nature, for that which set us free from the law of sin and death. And Father, we thank you for this outpouring. Father, that the blind see and the lame walk. I praise you today that those things take place in our midst. I praise you that this in this hour, Lord, that what you've given us is fully accessible. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of God, virtue and healing and manifestation of your glory. All things are possible to them that believe. We believe, Father. We set ourselves in a posture of prayer and we believe that we receive in Jesus' name. Things that we've never seen before, Father, we will not make excuse that because we have not seen them, they are impossible. Your word describes them. Your spirit within us describes that all things are possible. Father, we see the manifestation. We see the glory of God in this house. We see miracles taking place across the airwaves as we speak this morning. Lord, we worship you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gay, come over here and find one of the ones that has us whatever on miracles or whatever. Give us a 3, 4, 5 minutes of, we got to hear ourselves say it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. All manner of sickness.
All manner of sickness.
And all manner of diseases.
All manner of diseases.
Are healed.
Are healed.
First time.
First time.
Every time.
Every time.
All of them.
All of them.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Jesus,
Jesus,
you healed them all then.
You healed them all then.
You heal them all now.
You heal them all now.
That's what we say.
That's what we say.
That's what we have.
That's what we have.
In your name, Jesus.
In your name, Jesus.
Therefore.
Therefore.
We lift up.
We lift up.
The bloodstained banner.
The bloodstained banner.
Over this city.
Over this city.
Written in blood.
Written in blood.
On this banner.
On this banner.
Are these words.
Are these words.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
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 And where Jesus is Lord,
and where Jesus is Lord,
the Father's will is done.
The Father's will is done.
Therefore, Father, have your way.
Have your way.
Not just 30-fold.
Not just 30-fold.
Not just 60-fold.
Not just 60-fold.
But 100-fold.
But 100-fold.
And again we say.
And again we say.
Lost be saved.
Lost be saved.
Empty be filled.
Empty be filled.
Captives go free.
Captives go free.
Blind see.
Blind see.
Deaf hear.
Deaf hear.
Dumb speak.
Dumb speak.
Lame walk.
Lame walk.
Maimed be whole.
Maimed be whole.
Dead live.
Dead live.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
For thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the glory.
Thine is the glory.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Your will be done in Immokalee.
Your will be done in Immokalee.
Just as it is in heaven.
Just as it is in heaven.
As in heaven.
As in heaven.
So in the earth.
So in the earth.
As in heaven.
As in heaven.
So in Immokalee.
So in Immokalee.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Woo, that was good. Yes. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. Would you just lift those hands up and just magnify God for the power that was just exemplified, put forth in that? We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. I'm convinced that all things are possible to them that believe, and I believe that prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. We have not because we ask not, And much of our asking is amiss because it's a consumption on our own lust. But when you walk into Him and get to know Him, you won't be in that category. You won't be consuming. You'll just be speaking the Father's will. And you'll be doing the things. And I've never been more convinced in my life that prayer changes things. I've seen it. I've seen so many of my own personal prayers answered in the last several months. Continual petitions. You know, a lot of times I think, I don't know why we do it, but I think we think that just because God knows about it, that somehow He's going to answer it. It's not released unto Him to where that He can do anything about it until it is formally produced through a petition that goes to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, you can want it, you can think about it, and you can think that He knows about it and it's His will for Him to change it. But unless it goes to, and then, of course, today we're going to get into all types of prayer because there's the petition prayer. I don't know how far we'll go into that. But, you know, the prayer concerning the confession, that's a prayer that the confessions that we are speaking, they're changing. They're changing, but something has to be released. Just because you're wanting, just because you think it, it doesn't release it. It has to be, and then of course, your healing, for your healing, that's never a petition. You never ask the Father for your healing. You never say, God, will you heal me? You never for yourself or anybody else do you ever petition God to heal somebody. That's always a command. That's always a directive. That's already, you don't have to ask Him for something He's already done. So there's all types. There's all types of prayer. The healing doesn't fall into petition category. Don't ever ask Him. Everybody say, don't ever ask the Father. Don't ever ask Jesus to heal anybody, not even myself. That's always in a command. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can have whatever we say. We can have whatever we say. We can have whatever we pray for. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. Amen. Well, I see the offering baskets are up here, and somebody's already put something in it. Praise God. It's I'm sure it's just a wonderful hallelujah. That one's the one that we probably were looking for. Hallelujah. It's seed. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the beginning part of what's supposed to be this morning. Amen. So those of you who are watching and everyone here and those that are giving online, we appreciate your giving. It makes a major difference, you listening to the Lord. And we've preached this message for years that your Sunday morning service starts way before service, church. You know, just, and I know it's sometimes for some of you it's a fight, and you fight all kind of devils and flesh and everything to get here, but still, we're coming here together as ministers, and so I ask you to minister together with me in your giving as well. So praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you a moment to consider what you're going to give, and those of you that are watching, we appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Tonight, we are back again for the Sunday night services. We do our confession, and we're also studying with Brother Gary Carpenter, the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, listen, you know, and if you're here this morning and you can't be here in the service, but you're studying with us, I'm sure we've got enough. You can go online and print these out yourself. But tonight's we're well behind where he's at. But tonight is lesson number 9. Listen, okay, some of you may take exception with this, but you got to look and see how truthful it is. Now, some of you are having to do other stuff. Homer told us last week. I like it when Homer tells us, you know, because he's one of the pastors and an elder and stuff. He said, I'll be back. I'm going to have to take care of my father right now. But he said, the time is coming. You know, I'll be back. And he said, you know the reason why I'll be back. And, of course, we know graduation day is coming at some point in the future. But listen, sometimes people in the church will say, I want to study the Word of God. Well, really, do you really? I mean, come on. And sometimes I've heard people get together with other people to study the Word, and I'm like, no, wait a minute. And then sometimes they're not even here at our service. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I study hours, hours and hours. I'm not bragging on them. I study hours. I look, I pray in the Spirit. I listen. I meditate. I do those things first. Then I'll go to the Greek. And then I'll rely on, I've been in this 40 years. You're getting something that somebody, I'm not a novice. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm, and then we'll employ men like this, who Brother Gary Carpenter is teaching Matthew 5, 6, and 7, verse after verse. If you ever wanted to be able to tell somebody, if somebody ever says, have you ever studied the Sermon on the Mount? Oh my God, I've got, and you'll be able to put together a book, and you'll be able to say, I've went verse after verse after verse after verse with a man that has studied it, prayed over it, and then people won't attend or won't take it at home, and then they'll say, turn right around and say, but I really want to study the Word of God. No, you're contradicting yourself. You don't. You really don't. And then they'll have, I know sometimes people have Bible studies, and I don't want to, I'm not a dictator. I'm not controlling. There are no sanctioned Bible studies right now from the church right now where I'm saying you can go to that person's house or this, that. We have three services where the Word is taught, and it's taught very extensively. And then this one tonight, let me just for advertisement purposes, this is lesson number 9. The Beatitudes are the foundation. Now, Brother Gary's teaching this, and I probably wouldn't even have thought this years ago. I would have probably, there are some of those greasy grace preachers now that are saying, stay away from the Beatitudes, especially if you're a novice, stay away. And now I understand that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the first things that you ought to give a new convert. That's the first things that you ought to teach them. That's the foundation, and tonight is the Beatitudes are the foundation. And Brother Gary's done went through it enough to say he realizes this is Christianity 101. This is where you start at. So praise the Lord. So we're coming in here on Sunday nights, and we're watching Gary teach. And, of course, Sister Gay is leading us first in what she just did a few moments ago. And there we're studying this. Man, if you want to be... if you want to get a college education, biblical education, hallelujah. You know what? If you neglect, now sometimes you can't get to these, but you'll do it at home. That's fine. If we go through like, because there's like, we're still way behind. If we go through like 20-something of these sermons, teachings, and you never make application to them, you never study them, I hate to tell you this, and this is another thing you're going to cringe on some of you, we're way ahead of you. We're ahead of you in knowledge. Now, knowledge, the word says, puffs up, but I'm not telling you that we're, that. But what we have learned, the only way that this is a ouch is if you can attend these services, or you can do it at home and you're not doing it. You should say owie. It should be, if you live someplace where, but you can access this at Gary Carpenter's website. You can watch it and you can, and if you, listen, if you get like 4 or 5 months of teaching that somebody else doesn't get in their brain, their spiritual brain, that person is ahead of you in word. They know more in that area than you do, but you say, Pastor, that's not right. It is right because you could be doing it. You can do it at home. You don't have to travel here. Hallelujah. Well, I can't do it at home. Okay, I'll tell you what. If you can't do it at home and you can't get here, come see me. We will purchase for you the apparatus for you to do it at home. Okay? No excuses. Hallelujah. Are you okay this morning, Pastor? Oh my, I'm so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. And let's, Marty, if you have something for us to bring this down, And those of you who are watching, that's GaryCarpenter.org. They can find that. Candy, is that O-R-G? Yeah, okay, Gary says it is. So you can go on his website, you can access that. So Father, bless you. Thank you for this time of giving and receiving, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Am I not able to complete the good work that I have begun in this church, saith the Spirit of grace? From the days of its beginning, I built it line on line and precept on precept after my word and after my doctrine. For many winds have come and many winds have blown against this house, against its leadership, and against those who would come in and out. But the reason why that you have stood is because you've built your house on the doing of my sayings, saith the Spirit of grace. And again, I come to you and I say to you, I petition your hearts, come away with me. Renew your solemn place and vow in your heart to stay close and to pray and to seek my face. For I desire to do many wonderful things, that which I have prophesied from the very beginning and through the fathers of the faith that have stood in this pulpit and have given prophecies in days gone by. I have not forgotten my word to you, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not be shaken and do not be soon shaken by the things that are coming upon this planet. For in the midst of all darkness, you shall be a great and shining light to the world, saith the Spirit of grace. And I'm also calling you to be a light to my church. For there are many that have went over to the place of a grace that is not described in my word. But many of these have not yet given themselves over totally to this doctrine. For just as I gave Jezebel a space to repent in the book of Revelation, so I'm giving a space for many of these to once again turn from their wickedness. And those who have heard their doctrine, who are subject to their words, I'm calling again to these. And I'm calling again to these through your words and through your doctrine and through your prayers. Do you not know that you can rescue them and that you can rescue much of the church through your prayers to me for them? So do not give up on this revival, for this revival is at hand, saith the Spirit of grace. And do not give up on all those who have left, for many will return, knowing that I have called them back to a place of truth and a solidness in my word that will not pass away, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hikara hote iskele karosoto. Ho shete talahat yete. Blessed be the Lamb. Me korose tiata. Bless you, Jesus. Dakade se tiato. Yes, sir. Many ministries have dissolved or gone another way or taught a false doctrine when in their conception their heart was like yours, desiring to receive something pure. But I gave you from the beginning that which would pray out the soundness of truth. And by the soundness of truth, you have learned how powerful That which I placed in you through the new nature is from its conception. For many places have fallen and many men have gone another way. And even when their buildings have not been abandoned, and even when the crowds increase, they have forsaken and they are empty. And I see their houses of worship empty with great crowds in them. Because when the winds came and the floods came, they could not stand because they were not founded upon a rock. I gave you the wisdom from the very beginning to continue to utter the mysteries of prayer through the power of praying in the Spirit and uttering the mysteries in tongues. And decade after decade, you've persevered, and I've shown you through my word the power of the new nature that is in you. Stand upon this, for when men forsake this, they walk another way. When men walk away from my power, they're walking away from my word. And even though that which I placed within them is able to resist sin, before long it will begin to receive a lie. And the lie will turn into a permission to walk in the flesh. And the permission to walk in the flesh will give excuses to the flesh. And after excuses have built a great edifice, and built a great building for people to live in, they will live in their fortified cities of strongholds, believing that what they believe is right and others are wrong. For many have built, and some have built that stronghold even here in your midst. But I am after them even this day, saith the Spirit of the Lord, to dismantle. Not to punish, but to dismantle arguments, and to bring down high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I desire all my children to be with me in this place of intimacy. I desire all my children to come away with me and what I have planned for them in these last days, saith the Spirit of grace. So pray the mysteries, and worship me, and seek me to know me at all times, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I will fulfill in you that which I have promised, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We can do nothing without you. We know nothing without you. We're going to go slow. We're entering in a season of, this is prayer 101. Well, I don't know how many of these lessons. This may be one or two or three or four or five, but I don't know. But God's taking us back to a concentration on prayer corporately and individually. And my instructions for us, that in just a moment we're going to stand and I'm going to pray a prayer over us. From week to week during this time, I will ask different ones that I know are prepared to come forward and pray. And I don't know that I'll tell them beforehand, but I'll know that I know that these people can pray. And that I'll want them to pray over two things which are the same. The subject of prayer and revival. No other subjects, prayer and revival. We are going to, at the end of this service, as we will over the next several weeks, pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I see anybody here that's not already filled, but there's people that should be here that are not here, and they would be filled. But no matter what, I am instructed to do that each service, and we will do that, and we will do it for the camera's sake. There will be people be filled. And I can promise you, if you can invite people over the next several weeks who do not speak in tongues, they will speak in tongues. Amen. We'll have a deliberate, just, I don't care if the subject, if even if the subject matter is not about praying in tongues, when we get done, we're going to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. But it will be subject matter on prayer, so that, of course, hallelujah. The key verses are the key verse. Why don't you just turn there with me before I pray, and I'll discuss this for a little bit before we even pray together. But this is in Ephesians chapter 6. So you can turn there in your Bibles or smart device, glass or pages, either one. Hallelujah. Homer's running that Rolodex in his mind. Hallelujah. You can quote it. I know that. This is what Paul says in the conclusion of his letter in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, after he goes through all the armament of God and how to make our stand, then he says in verse 18, praying always, everybody say always, with all prayer, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in or inside of the Spirit. Let me just stop right there for a moment. Praying always is an application to staying in a position of always being in prayer. I've never enjoyed behind the scenes life in Christ as much as I'm enjoying it now, spending my life in prayer. You know, we said the other night that great apostle Smith Wigglesworth, he said he never prayed really more than 15 minutes at the time, but he never went more than 15 minutes without praying. So he basically was in. Now here's the report on Smith Wigglesworth. Now, if you didn't want to be around somebody that prayed, or you get a little embarrassed if he prayed out in the restaurant or in the world, then you really wouldn't want to be around him. You'd just kind of dismiss yourself. But no matter where he was at, after a little bit of time, he'd just get down and pray, or he'd pray sitting or whatever, I guess. And then a lot of times he'd just open the Word. Now, that's applicable to church. We think of that, okay, that's fine. No problem with that. But if you're in his home, or if you're with him just at a restaurant or any place, the man stayed in a constant place of prayer. And he would just interrupt, okay, I've got you might be talking about something else, you know, stock market or your favorite college football team. He probably wasn't into any of that anyway, but he'd just stop and say, I've got a verse that I need to read right here. We say, well, you know, that's weird. No, we're weird. We're so far away from what is truth that what is truth looks weird. Well, the man, he documented, not that he did it, but medically, I think there was a dozen, 11 or 12, something like that, documented raisings from the dead. He's also the one that the story is that the man who had no feet, grew feet into shoes. That was Smith Wigglesworth. Those are notable miracles. Those are the ones that we're believing God for. But it takes a life. It doesn't take a life where you, because see, I know you got to, because immediately your brain goes, no, I got to work, and I got to cook, and I got to clean. I know that. And I'm not telling you to do a 15 on 15. I'm just advocating developing a prayer life that is beyond where you're at right now, where I'm right now. And praying always, he says, with all prayer. I will read that out of the Amplified because that might help you too, with all prayer. The Amplified says, pray at all times. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about one of the prayer that we like so much, praying in tongues. But that should not replace praying with your understanding. It's very important that you pray with your understanding. There's an anointing on praying with your understanding. Well, I just pray in tongues all the time. Well, you're not really, that's good. Keep praying in tongues. That's good. I want to compliment you on that. But you should spend a lot of time praying with your understanding also, because Paul said he did both. God anoints your understanding, and he'll pray through it. So we're going to talk about those prayers. Worship is, of course, we segregate it or separate it, but worship is a sort of, it is in the prayer category. And then what Miss Gay led us in this morning, confession is prayer, but it's a directive prayer. And even when you pray, we don't really call it, because we don't want to misconstrue people saying pray for people. We'll go out and send you to pray. What you can't find, you don't see in any instruction with Jesus that he told the disciples to go pray. He told them to go heal the sick, go lay hands on them. We say, well, he said go lay hands on them. That's right, but it wasn't go pray for them like, Father, I'm asking you to heal this person. You just go out there and like you're carrying the weight of authority, and you're just like this big battleship that gets to point, and when you say fire, the Holy Spirit fires. And you get to be the one to direct it. Now he said, pray with all prayer. Now the Amplified says, pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, with, here's this preposition, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. I'll read the rest of it in just a moment. It's as we go into it, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they just hodgepodge. And the further you go in the Word, I don't understand that, because we ought to be further along. We ought to understand, I've got an assignment here. I'm going to the hospital to pray for this person. Well, I'm not, that's not all types. See, there's several types of prayer, different categories of prayer. Well, the first thing from my mind is to go in there and ask God to heal him. You've kind of thrown your words to the wind when you start out, God, I'm asking you to heal this person. You've thrown them to the wind, and you're not even, you may be standing on one leg, but you're not standing on both legs. Both legs will have you give a directive, because you can't find it in the Word to ask God to heal. So you don't, if you misplace, now that's a directive prayer. I'm going to make, so I understand the category is based on the occasion. Everybody say that. The category is based on the occasion. Amen. Now, when I'm wanting a new or a good vehicle, you know, when I'm asking God, and I know it's, you know, I can't, you ask God. You don't give after you ask, or you're wanting to you need something. Now, healing and depression, by the way, is inside of that. By stripes you were healed. Now, I'm asking you, Lord, to heal me of this depression. You just speak to that thing, and you speak to it like it's a, see, our forefathers, I wish, you know, we've thrown a lot of stuff out, a lot of babies out with the bathwater. You go out there and there's a lot of babies, good babies, laying out there in the yard, because we thought, well, they were before us. Men like Norval Hayes, he would get on something, and I heard somebody say the other day, Pastor Dave had somebody come into his office, I think it was with a shoulder problem, and they were all out of sorts and just about cussing and everything. And they were talking about how bad their shoulder was. And he told them, he said, trade places with me. Of course you can't. He couldn't, of course. He said, trade places with me, give me 3 months, and I'll have that thing changed. Trade places with me, your same situation you got, change places with me, give me 3 months, and I'll totally walk out of that. Dave was a man that taught me you can walk out of anything if you're stubborn enough. You got to be stubborn. One of the building blocks of faith is being real stubborn. And you've heard me say that story a lot of times. Norval Hayes, that woman was crying. And she was and you got to have compassion. But I struggle sometimes with compassion and also with what I know sometimes when people are like, they get kind of mad at God, and then I know they're blaming God, but he's big, so he's got big shoulders, and so he doesn't get upset with people, but then you got to educate them, and then after you educate them, if they keep speaking that, then they're ignorant. But this woman was saying, why did God let my husband die? Because he was a Christian, and he was believing God for the cancer to go away. And he said, okay, can I just ask? He said, first of all, honey, God never let nobody ever die of cancer. Nobody that was ever really believing God, nobody ever died. They weren't believing God. They weren't totally believing God and died of cancer. Nobody, not from the beginning of man of time. She said, oh, no, but he was believing God. But he said, okay, well, can I just ask you a couple questions? Yes. He said, did you ever just inadvertently walk by him? You know, why he's at the breakfast, you know, the two of y'all home. You catch him unaware. He's sitting there at the breakfast table in his boxers at home. Did you just catch him, walk in behind him? He didn't even know you were there. And him saying, I'm talking to you, cancer. See, Jesus taught us to talk to the mountain. And sometimes we think that's silly. Well, it might be silly to you, but you can die. Or you got a choice, die or live, die or live. And Jesus taught us to talk. Now that talking, that there in Mark 11 was a perpetual state. If you go back even into the Greek, it's a perpetual state of saying. Now, that's not a petition. You already know his will, but somebody said, well, I've already said it one time. No. You can say a million times 10 million, that your confession of faith against the mountain, because it's a perpetual state of speaking the word against it. People just hodgepodge all this, and they get it all mixed up. He said, did you ever hear him just catch him? You know? In the bathroom, on the toilet. I'm talking to you. Cancer, you can't live in my body. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm talking to you. You got to treat. See, one thing I've learned, I haven't learned everything. I'm a long ways. I treat sickness or pain in my body just like it's a personality, just like you're standing there with me. And if you don't treat it like that, because Jesus said you got to treat it like that, you got to speak it to it like it's a personality, like it's got flesh and bone on it. I'm talking to you, cancer. He said, did you ever hear him say, I'm talking to you, cancer? Norval Hayes, and I didn't have any idea of thinking about him this morning. The Lord just got me going in this direction. You know, his daughter, Zona, I met both of them. I knew them. Before I knew her, she had she was on drugs, you know, way back years ago. She was on drugs and she was all messed up in the world. And he talks about how that he would get before the Lord and he would call her in and he would speak the word over. And he would do it thousands. See, if you're sick, for God's sake, why would you spend 5, 6, 7 hours watching TV if you got pain in your body? When you can turn the thing off and speak his word. Well, I don't know much of his word. Well, I can give you two scriptures or one scripture, or I can just give you the name and you just speak there. Well, it gets boring after a while. That's faith. Real faith is real boring. The reason why people die all the time is they're looking for goosebumps. Getting slain People usually, if people get slain, they get up and die. Pastor, that's not nice. Well, they do. They get up and die if they don't know how to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down. But he said, did you ever hear him? Because he would speak hours and hours and hours and hours and just thousands of confessions saying the same thing. Well, you say, that's redundant. Jesus talked about redundant. No, he said, that's vain repetition. Vain repetition is when you're doing to be heard of man. But every time you say it and you concentrate on what you're saying, at some point, it'll become truth to you. And then it becomes a life. It becomes life. Well, he said it thousands and thousands of times for her, and at some point, I mean, a lot of you have heard the story. She was laying in bed, and she's just full of drugs, all coked out, all messed up, all of whatever she was on. And then she just looked over beside of her bed, and there's a 7-foot, he just said he was about 7-foot, 7-foot angel just standing there. And it scared her so bad, and all the demons. Somebody said, demons? Yeah. Anybody that's on drugs is demon-possessed. I mean, you know, street drugs and all that stuff. They got devils in them. Said, no, Pastor, you're talking real crazy. No. He comes in through the passage of those drugs. You got family members. Listen, it's okay. Why should that shock you? The blind see, the lame walk, and the devils go. You got, folks, you got a lot, and I do too. You got a lot of family members that got devils in them. They don't fall down foaming at the mouth. You're hearing some strange things, aren't you, this morning? Some of yours. You got, those devils are in them. Thank you, sir. Devils are in your family members. They don't want to be here because they're scared of the anointing. They don't know that. Their mind doesn't know that. But the reason why they're not here is because they can't imagine being here, a lot of them. You invite them and you'll get them coming for a little bit and then they'll leave. But she looked over and it's so that angel had the anointing of the Holy Spirit on him, of course. And all the devils left her and she went running in there and saying, screaming, Daddy, 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 Daddy. She got totally sober. Her mind got totally sober. But all prayer and all supplication, sometimes prayer is, don't leave everything to praying in tongues. Well, I'm just going to throw it all in a junk box. It's not a junk box. But I'm going to throw it in a toolbox of praying in tongues. He don't want you to do that. There's the prayer of petition. And they're the prayer of confession, making your confession known unto God. Why? Because he'll take the internal authority that is in you. See, because you don't know what you're praying for when you're praying in tongues. And you can't direct it either. I've heard people, I've kind of giggled a little bit on the inside. Don't make fun of people, but I giggle a little bit to say, well, let's all stop and pray for Sister So-and-so in tongues. You can't direct that prayer. Now you can hope. Now I've had him go. I've said I'm going to go pray for somebody, and then I'd go in there and start praying in tongues, edifying myself, and then I'd go into intercession, and I knew then I was praying for Sister So and So. I just knew then that I was praying for Brother So and So or Sister So and So or something in the church. He'd let me know inside of me. I'd know what it was. But most of the time, when I'm just praying in my edification language, I have no idea. Well, he tells me every time, well, you've got to walk beyond mine. So it's okay, though. I don't know what I pray all the time. And Paul said we wouldn't know what we'd pray all the time. But it's important for us to find out all these diversities of prayer. Hallelujah. And enter into, listen, folks, I'm gonna be a Roberson Knight for just a moment. If there was ever a time to pray in tongues, like never before. Pray in tongues until your tongue falls out on the floor. Pick it up, pet it a little bit, stick it back in your mouth, and keep praying in tongues. Hallelujah. It changes things. And it will change you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I said we were going to pray, didn't I? Let's all stand together. This isn't the close of the service, but I'm going to pray. I don't even know. I had no idea that exhortation, but we needed to hear it. It was even coming. Now, I've never really written out a prayer, but I'm going to, he had me write this out, but you just close your eyes, slip into God, and I'll pray it as the Lord gave it to me. Hallelujah. And I'm praying it over us and them out there. Father, we thank you for this ordained season for the purpose of a consciousness of prayer. Prayers for ourselves and prayers for each other and prayers for our nation and prayers for the world. Open up our expectations like never before. God, let preposterous, I like that word, preposterous things become the norm. Things that are contrary to the natural. Things that go beyond our reasoning. And things, even things contrary to common sense when it comes to your power to intervene. God, let an atmosphere of expectancy of your presence and miracles fill this church whenever your people and wherever your people are listening. God, interrupt our services with unexpected moves of your glory. Father, saturate us with your presence so that we cannot stand. Let every gift of the Holy Ghost be manifest in our midst. May the spirit of melancholy, mundane, boredom, and distraction be destroyed from out of our midst. God, let new things be birthed in us. Father, let us celebrate Jesus like we never have and not take lightly what has been given to us. Let your righteousness and convicting power saturate this place. Father, help us to humble ourselves before you like never before. God, take arguing and debate far from us. We don't and do not desire to be proven right, but rather we desire to be exalted in your presence and your word to be exalted and to prove all things. God, cleanse us from open sins. God, cleanse us from secret sins. Lord, your word says in Psalm 66, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But truly God hath heard me, and he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Father, as it was in the days of Hezekiah the king, who summoned all of Israel to come and to receive a revival from the Lord, let us hear your call today to come and renew our commitment to prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. some in the next few weeks. I'm just telling you, stay in prayer, all of you leaders and all you elders and all you young elders. I'm just going to call you up and hand the mic to you. You would say, well, I wasn't expecting. Oh, yeah, you better be expecting it. I done told you. I done told you. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Hallelujah. Just to advertise, I'm going to have the guys pass out something in just a moment. But let me advertise some things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at the necessity of prayer in the light of a no-gray gospel and the power of the new nature. Man, I love that series that we just went through with Brother Gary Carpenter a couple months ago on 1 John. Boy, did it make things clear. Hallelujah. I thought it was one of the best series I'd ever heard. It just got it real clear for us. Real clear. And just on where people are, you know, when things get clear, it doesn't make you condemn them. It just knows, you just know where they're at. You know, I said, I had a sermon several weeks ago and somebody's used it. I said, look, if they fall in that category of questioning, if they're in that category, see, Christians don't habitually do those deadly sins. They don't habitually fornicate. They don't habitually get drunk. They don't habitually, they don't have a, you know, if they do fall, they definitely, it's not recorded as a habit in their life. And we found out from 1 John, if a man, after he says he's been born again, if it's just unabated, he just keeps doing those things, he's not. He just, we found out verse after verse, 100% proof. That person's just not born again. So if you've got mummies or daddies or sisters or brothers that are in that questionable category, don't pray for them. See, a lot of times people will want to think the best. This is one area where you don't think the best. And it's all right with God. Put them in that category, like if they're, you know, if they're sleeping around or cohabitating, the word says chambering, those who chamber, in other words, those that are living together, they don't go to heaven when they die. But see, yours and mine, if they are in a chambering situation, they're going to come out of it before the trumpet sounds or before they draw their last breath, and they're going to be born again. Hallelujah. So we found out a lot of things about that, you know, through 1 John. And here's the thing is, even after you come out, you've got to live. You've got to live straight. If you go back into those things and start doing those things habitually, Romans 8 says you will die. Just like you become alive, you will die. So we're going to look at prayer in the light of a no-gray gospel. Isn't that great? Because we've learned some things, and we don't see, when we learn some things, we can look at people with more compassion. You don't see, I used to look at people, well, that's a Christian having trouble with his flesh. Oh, no. No, they're living, listen, they're living together, and they're calling themselves a So I think it was Barry Johnson. He sent me something. He sent some others. He's not that he watches this, but it came out on Charisma. Yeah, that's what it was, Charisma. And it was the, what's that, Bachelorette show? You know, it's nasty to begin with. You know, you got one woman, she gets to pick for 40 men, and then they have the other one, don't they? They have the man, and then I don't know what they call all those shows. But the season opening monologue, or however, I don't know what word to use. It would be like the one thing, the snippet that they used to advertise. Well, they had a whoever she is right now currently, and they're always beautiful women. They're just gorgeous. And she claims to be a Christian, born-again believer, and then she was really liking this one guy. He was the shoe-in for her to pick at the end of the show. He was the shoe in. She'd kind of started weeding out all the rest of them. Well, they had their conversation, and he's a born again believer, and he's from Gainesville. Good looking young man. You know, they always look like models. You know, kind of like me. They're just right. You know, okay, come on, go ahead. Candy just rolled her eyes. And so anyway, he's sitting there talking to her, and he said, they were having a conversation. He said, well, now, of course, a lot of it's staged, you know this, but then this part, he said, well, I guess we should talk about sex. And he said, I just want you to know that the marriage bed is real sacred to me, and it's a thing of purity. And he said, and another thing, too, is I just want you to know that if you've had any kind of physical relationship with any of the other men here on the show, I can tell you that's enough to send me home. You can send me home. She jumped up and she started screaming. And then I watched another clip of her being on a video of a talk show. And she just told him, she said, yes, I've had sex with these other men, but I can do what I want, because Jesus loves me. And then she went on the talk show and she said, people get Christianity and your own personal convictions all mixed up. She said, nobody has the right to condemn me. See, that's that greasy grace, damnable, going to hell doctrine that people tell other people. Now, I prayed for that young lady because she's not born again. I don't care if she says she's born again. She's not born again. You don't know Jesus until people, I can sleep with who I want to. I don't care if you've said you're born again, if you've cried a bucket of prayers, or I don't care if you can be baptized. You don't know Jesus if you believe you can sleep with whoever you want to, and he won't condemn you. Well, there's no difference between Christianity and your convictions. Your convictions have to be what the Word of God says. There's a whole list of them. We went through those three different chapters. There's a whole bunch of universal, they're generic, they apply to all of us. Now, there's some convictions. Somebody said, well, I can't drink coffee because it hurts my head or something, and the Lord's told me not to do it. If I do it, I get a conviction. Well, that's a conviction. That's not going to send you to hell. My God, that's like running a stop sign out here accidentally. Well, you shouldn't have done it, or you wasn't paying attention, you was talking. You run a red light or whatever. That's not going to send you to hell. Jesus. You remember the man that told me all sin's the same? That's how they get that kind of stuff. And they think running a stop sign's like cheating on your wife. You can't know God real strong and say that kind of stuff. That's just silly stuff. That's just stuff that kids would say. But she said, I can sleep with whoever I want to. And God's okay with it. Now, there are some things that you can get convicted about yourself that don't apply to me. But there's a whole bunch of universal ones that's not up for debate. Like, I'm not convicted about that, Pastor. I don't care if you're convicted about it or not. You're going to go to hell. You can go unconvicted right into hell. So, I got a young lady laughing on the front row here. You look like her, a lot like her. We're going to look at the necessity of prayer through a no-gray gospel. We're going to continue to see what we've been seeing in the past concerning the power of the Holy Spirit to aid us against all weaknesses, including sin, and yet giving no excuse to the flesh. You know, once in the beginning of this, when we first were learning all this, everything morphs, goes in through a metamorphosis. You learn one thing, they'll get a vaccine on one strand of whatever, and it'll morph, and then they got to get, another vaccine because it just finds another way so the flesh is kind of like that. We learned about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues was an aid. It was an aid to the spirit man. The spirit man when I said a few weeks ago, you don't have to pray in tongues to overcome sin, and that's an absolute truth. Born again, not spirit-filled or spirit-filled, and still won't. You're still just as free from sin as anybody that prays in tongues all the time, because you've received the mechanism of freedom, which is the born again nature. But when you do pray in tongues, it edifies you. It builds you up. But the morphing, the way that some morphed it or found another way to go around it, was they took it as a replacement for the born again nature. In other words, they replaced it. In other words, I used to say, when I saw people really failing or losing it, well, they're not praying. Well, that's probably still true. They're probably still not praying. But they're not praying in tongues. Did not give them. It was not their fault. It was not the thing that caused them to fail in standing up against sin. See, if you didn't pray in the last 3 months or didn't fast, the mechanism of righteousness, which is the born-again nature, tongues is not supposed to replace that. It's supposed to stand up and just reinforce all that you already are. But if you never did it, you still have no excuse, because the power of the new nature is enough to set you free. And then I know, because I've been around people. They're not really around here anymore so much. I wish they were. But they used to give that excuse. Well, Pastor, I hadn't been praying lately. That's why I did that. And then I'd cave in a little bit, like, well, okay, let's get you back into prayer. Oh, hush. Shut up. I don't care if you hadn't been praying. I don't care if you hadn't been fasting. You shouldn't have done it, because you're born again. Hallelujah. We're quiet in this Methodist church. No, this is a good, I love Methodists. Hallelujah. I love Methodists. I do. Although they voted on something the other day that, bless their hearts, Jesus help them. Although we were in one act set free from sin and the necessity to continue to sin, we are in a continual war with the flesh until the day we die. Our freedom from sin did not stop the war against sin or the lust of the flesh. It just empowered us to have dominion over it. Now let's stop this. Let's kind of stop this and pull this kind of wording out of our lingo of, well, brother so-and-so did that because they hadn't been praying. And that might be a truth. Because if they were praying, it probably would have helped. Probably would have helped. But they didn't have to do it even if they weren't praying. So let's kind of pull that out of our lingo and pull it out of your own lingo. Yeah, I lost it the other day. Cussed 3 or 4 people out. Did you, Pastor? No, I was a kid. But it's because I hadn't prayed in 2 weeks. I'll stop that. Get that out of you. Wash that out. Not that that was good. That was okay where we were at one time. That was okay. But we've gone past that. Okay? This is why Paul continued to say things like, I die daily and I keep under my body. Praying in tongues does not set you free from sin, but it reveals to you the dominion you received the moment that you were born again. It keeps that in front of you. Believers who pray in tongues are no more free from sin than the believer who does not, but the huge advantage is the revelation power of the Holy Spirit edifying your spirit with the continual truth. You are free. You are free. Now, that's an advantage. But take him away. No, don't take him away, but take him out of the equation. You're still free. Boldness comes through prayer. Go ahead and pass those out. Are you having a good time? I hope so. I am. Now, this is a present day speaking. I don't know who it came by. I got it from Tulsa. It was sent out like most of you. A lot of you get these present day speakings. Take this home with you. We're going to probably be passing out one of these a week. I'm going to read through this here. We're still good. We got a few minutes before noon. If the Holy Spirit was moving in miracles, we'd go however long. And then we just cancel church tonight. But we're not. We're teaching this morning. He's teaching. Thank you, Jesus. All the glory to God. So everybody got one? Now this is, I'll read it because it accentuates what I'm talking about this morning about prayer and loving, coming to love your prayer closet. Love your prayer closet. And can I say something too before we read this? This goes beyond, I'm not speaking, all I can do is stand up here and testify of my relationship. And that sounds like sometimes that I'm putting myself on a pedestal. I can't talk about yours because I don't know what you do, but I can believe that many of you are going after this just like me. I just believe that. So, this is not just your prayer closet. This is as you're driving down the road in your cars, in your trucks, at work. You're finding time. Just to worship the Lord, pray in tongues, praying about everything. Man, I'll tell you, this stuff works. I wish I could tell you, but there's a number of things that the Lord has answered just that I petitioned Him on over probably the last year, and I've been seeing them boom, 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 boom. Praise God. That blessing I got the other day was one of those, but it wasn't the only one. It was a lot of different things. A lot of different things. God doesn't love Bronk Flint any more than He loves you, but you've got to know that you've got to ask Him. Some things you can, some things you should ask. Not prayer for healing. You don't ask about that. But a lot of things you ask for, and then you receive. And then you start, then the second step after asking is then you start confessing it. I say that I have. I say that my body is. I say. And then you go into it like that. So that's how you use the Word of God for your confessions. Hallelujah. Be ready. We're going to read this in a minute. Be ready at all times to give intimacy. One of our messages that we're going to talk about, I don't know that it'll be the whole message, it might be, because there's a number of Old Testament and even New Testament, the posture of prayer. The posture of prayer. What? Do you know, I pray most of the time sitting. We all stand in here. But there's some times, and I can show you from the Old Testament and New Testament, that the posture of prayer that is, it doesn't, you say, well, it does it... Your physical posture, you're saying your physical posture. I'm saying your physical posture sometimes is only indicative of what's on the inside. Remember Pastor Dave say, I'm going to open up the altars because some of you need to be able to give your body to this. Sometimes something will come on me, and I'm giving them secrets away this morning. I just kind of watch, I'm kind of conscious where Candy's at. And this hasn't been recently, this has been for years, and maybe sometimes she has, but a worship will come on me, and I can't sit, and I can't even stand. Paul said, I bow the knees, my knees. Paul said he bows his knees. He didn't say that in all of his prayers, but a lot of times I'll just be walking through the house, or I've got to scoot to the bedroom, or I've got to scoot to someplace, and I'll tell you, something will come on me, and thankfulness about what's coming, or what has happened, I'm not trying to put on a show. I'll close the door. Candy's probably caught me at times. I don't know, but I don't want to embarrass her. But I can't stand it. I can't. My heart is so. I'll just fall down. A lot of times I'll just hit beside the bed. It won't be but two or three, just a minute or two. But I've got to bow my knee. I've got to posture my knee is a resemblance of the worship that's going on the inside. I've been hunting before. I've been this, that, and the other. I'm walking along or doing whatever, just worshiping the Lord, and I can't stand it. Somebody come up on you, they think you're an idiot. But you're not. Paul said he bowed the knee of his body because he was wanting to get his prayer over to God. Hallelujah. The posture of your body sometimes is very important because it's an obedience. Hallelujah. I hope you got something out of that. The inheritance, this is the inheritance of fellowship. I'll just read it. You follow along. There is a boldness that the enemy has fought. Not a boldness of speech or a boldness of soul, but a boldness in the realm of my spirit. A boldness of heart. A boldness of believing. Against his fight, there is a rising up. There are those who are walking in a greater degrees of who they are in me, so that situations might be changed and that people might be freed to then go on and walk forward in me. I'm just thinking about my asking lately. I'm asking for things to happen today. Some things where people's lives, they've been going through it, and it's mountain things. But I just, preposterous. You know what the word, I'm not trying to use, I like that word. It means out of the ordinary, out of the norm, just out of the natural, unnatural to normal circumstances. I'm asking God for preposterous things to take place. I mean, and I'm wanting my brain to see it. I want it to ooze out of my spirit, my brain to see it. Too many lack the vision of the power available in prayer in private time with me. But I have never quit calling for each man, woman, and child to take their place in me. My body has an inheritance in me to do great exploits. This very much includes what takes place in the secret place, one-on-one with me. To the bold, I say, be bold. Let your boldness bring forth manifestations of answered prayer. I desire to do many more things through prayer. This inheritance of fellowship, it is for all who call upon the Lord to be saved. Fellowship is communion with me, and communion with me leads to a fellowship where you are asking according to my will, and it is done. Remember what I said? You get to know him, you won't be asking. Somebody said, well, you can ask, people ask all, yeah, I know people that don't know him ask all kind of crazy stuff. But you don't get to know God and his word that you'll ask his will. Fellowship is to include a union with me where my compassion and passion flow freely through my beloved and the captives are set free. The inheritance of fellowship includes a position of authority where a son or daughter might learn who they are in me and stand strong in the authority given through my name. Fellowship with me in prayer is always most pleasing to me, whether with a new babe's learning of kingdom things or with those who have graduated into places in our fellowship, accomplishing much as they follow my spirit leading. Oh, my body was born for fellowship and learning of their place in me, and learning of their fellowship with my spirit, and of the many facets of kingdom living. It is a royal inheritance of dominion and authority, and it is an inheritance of sweet intimacy that accomplishes many things through my presence with you and yours with me. The doors of fellowship, the doors of dominion and authority have been opened to all who are born in me. And it is through these doors that I desire to see many inhabit the secret place with me through fellowship. My yoke is easy, and my burden is truly light. To take my yoke upon you is to learn of me, includes inhabiting this place of fellowship, where you ask of me according to my will, and because you know me, you know with a certainty that I will do what you have asked of me. Oh, the fellowship with me in the secret place where you partake of my authority and stand with me in places of dominion, where you revel in the beauty of my glory. This fellowship is a place of grace and understanding. I have gone before you so that you might walk as I walked with my Father. Therefore, I delight in the fellowship of my beloved, and I delight in your stand in me of victory. For our union is in the truth of who you are in me because of my victory. Our union is a fellowship indeed. The secret place of our fellowship is a place of great victory for those who walk closely with me. I am leading the way into greater dominion and authority and great boldness in me. I am leading into greater expanses of inheritance for those who will walk ever closer with me. Oh, the things that we will do together in the secret place are greater than the present glory that you have seen. Great will be the exploits of those who fellowship with me in authority and dominion in that secret place of fellowship, you and me. Now here's some verses that back up this particular prophecy. Ephesians 3, 17 through 21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, and that you comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 9. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Luke 10, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 1 Chronicles 16, glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. Did you have a good time? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're right on time. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all of our family that's here, our family that's watching. God, saturate our hearts, Lord, that during this week that you will bring us to a place of prayer, that we won't come legalistically, but we'll come in faith. And even when times are missed because something comes up, that, Lord, that we'll just trust you to take us right back in, and that we'll know that, Lord, that you're the one that is taking and putting this prayer burden on us and teaching us things of your Spirit by your Word. We commit your people unto you. We bless them. We thank you for the service tonight that is already in your heart to be blessed. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Amen.